So what is the Islamophobia research tell us for the past 2 years?
It seems like Islamophobia can appear institutionally or individually. When I say institutionally, it means political discourse, media, some extreme far-right groups, or sometimes exclusivist people of different religions can also find, and sometimes not necessarily the religious people, but non-religious secular also forms of Islamophobia is existing in our pluralistic society. It is a small, minor group of people, but still I can call them like loud minority. So they're still making noise and disrupting people's lives. And when you look at Professor Riyas Hassan's study in 2015, he concluded that in Australian context, only about 10% hardcore Islamophobes, 20% are undecided group, and 70% are either less Islamophobic or non-Islamophobic. It means 10% of our society is having a hardcore Islamophobic tendencies. When you look at the Muslim population, it is 2.6%, which means every single individual Muslim should deal with almost 4 hardcore Islamophobes. The report that we collected and collated from the Islamophobia Register shows that there are incidents people are going through. It affects their lives. And also, it becomes a problem for our pluralistic society because Islamophobia is getting normalized. For example, when we looked at the figures and locations, we found that in multiculturally more mixed suburbs, 51% witnessing Islamophobic attacks. And also, there is no locational deterrent, no public pressure on the perpetrator attacking people indoor places or places that are in the center of life. For example, shopping centers, trains, train stations, mosques, schools surrounding schools. 48%, which means almost half of the incidents, a problem for Muslim individuals because they can't really estimate and under which circumstances they can be attacked, they can be targeted. So it becomes an expectable thing for them everywhere. But also, this is a big problem for our bigger community or broader society because it seems like Islamophobic attacks are acceptable. People are witnessing what is going on, but we don't see many people interfering in the incident, or there is no social pressure that would deter the perpetrator from attacking a victim. That is a societal problem. We need to really address this. However, when you look at the reports, we found that a lot of people reporting the incidents were witnesses. So majority of the reporters are witnesses, even more than victim, it was witnesses reporting. It means that in our society, there is a willingness to help by reporting. But what I say is it's not enough because this happens, people are affected, and everybody is watching from all walks of life, can see all these attacks when they're occurring, happening in the middle of, in the center of life. But accepting, witnessing, and not interfering is not enough. We should collectively give a clear message to the perpetrator that it is not acceptable in our pluralistic society. We appreciate that people are willing to witness, willing to report when they witness. This is good, but of course, sometimes they can't really interfere in an incident because it's not safe and secure for them either. There should be ways to really address the issue. And yeah, there is a concern because it's getting normalized. In this report, we didn't really instruct or give prescriptions what to do. It's not our job. We are researchers. We are talking with data and we are saying that, look, there is a problem, and we are identifying and analyzing in which circumstances how Islamophobia appears and operates, and what are the impacts of Islamophobia on people. Showing all these, we are also raising the alarming issues. One of them was normalization of Islamophobia, and we are calling all the stakeholders to a discussion what can be done. And this is just like a really good evidence for thought. I think it can provoke some discussions. That is the idea of the report. Their finding was very severe level of hatred on social media, online discourse. We measured, we scaled the emotions when people were attacking verbally, because online normally severity is really about words. So we were trying to understand the hatred level of the perpetrator. So we looked if it's anger, contempt, disgust, dehumanization, or willing to harm Muslims. We found that more than half of the incidents reported to the register were including feelings like wanting to harm, kill Muslims, encourage it also, and spread the word. That is also a concern because they are unmonitored. I am talking sometimes about real incidents within online cases. For example, 30% of the online incidents had offline component. For example, they say, let's get together in Lakemba to kill Muslims. So they're giving a sometimes actual address or trying to, you know, spread the violence in certain places, and they're calling other people to come and harm Muslims. Or sometimes we see like people take their videos targeting, harming, or victimizing a person, and they are just spreading that vilification attack on social media, and people are appreciating them. Is that a normal, you know, behavior? Actually not. But again, we see that online extremism, which means wanting to harm Muslims and encouraging others to harm Muslims, is not monitored enough. Let me give you an example from, and you will see it in the report as well. One person from I think Queensland, posting, and he says, remember, it takes thousands upon thousands of dollars to take them to trial, only about a dollar for a bullet. Another case, and that was from Perth, and that was a child care post. And the person under, and the child care says, the first Muslim child care center in Perth. And the person posting or taking this advertisement, commenting on it, says, wait till it's full and burn the joint down, and then burn them all. So, of course, that is a responsibility for Muslims to express themselves better. But sometimes there can be different reasons for hating Islam. And if it's misinformation about Muslims, then it's Muslims' responsibility to express themselves better and communicate and interact with them. But regardless, sometimes we find people are, you know, determined, conditioned to be kind of against Islam, against Muslim. And this is an idea. They can be against. There is no problem in that. As long as they don't harm the other.
Yes.
You will see in the Islamophobia definition of our report, we said Islamophobia is a form of racism that includes various forms of violence, violations, discrimination, and subordination as a response to problematization of Muslim identity. So it's not about what you think about Islam. It is about harming Muslims. One problem we saw was when we were analyzing public discourse about Muslims. So we looked at the political discourse, at the case studies, especially after certain global and local incidents and terrorist attacks, also including legislations and other stuff as well. We're looking at how Muslims are presented, and then, you know, how this is circulated in media, public discourse and political discourse, we found that there is no clear distinction between terrorist and an ordinary Muslim. That is a problem. And when you look at the reports, they spiked after certain incidents. So I think we need to clarify who is ordinary Muslim, who is terrorist in our public discourse. Mm-hmm. Let me give you the example of beheadings. For example, 2014, and that's included in our report, there were certain individuals' beheadings, and it made a massive, massive impact on our society. But the problem was that it was taken into or transformed into the public discourse as it was an issue between Muslims and non-Muslims. But when you look at what the ISIS did to other Muslims, there were more than 200 beheadings of Muslims. But, you know, just picking up a couple of non-Muslims, there were journalists and, you know, from Japan, Paris, or America, different countries, Western countries, and focusing only on them actually changed the discourse. There were 200 Muslims beheading at the same time. However, that kind of illusion, as if terrorists are killing only Muslim or beheading only Muslims, really impacted the Islamophobic discourse.
What message you want to really send to Austrian public to know about the truth?
I'm grateful that we have a really good, established, pluralistic, multicultural society. But we should sometimes really consider what is going on in relation to Muslims, as if we shouldn't really consider it as if it's their own problem. If a human being is attacked because of her race, her religion, her public appearance, it is a problem. It doesn't matter if the person is Sikh, if the person is Buddhist, or if the person is Muslim. We shouldn't really betray our human moral values and our multicultural, very well established heritage. So we should really stand up when we see a vilification of any person, and we shouldn't really see vilification of Muslims as an acceptable phenomenon. That is wrong. And thanks to the public for seeing all these incidents and reporting them. I think we should give very clear message to the perpetrator that it is not acceptable in our pluralistic society, and it should be all stakeholders coming and deciding how we can stop this.